We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, give me a little enthusiasm here. I know we've been working
on it. Let's go, Jared.
There
it's time.
It is. I love it. Good enthusiasm. We got to keep everybody interested and into it. And Nate, I'm excited to talk some Angels baseball. Second time today. We recorded two today. A lot of fun. And we got one out this morning. We're going to get this one out Friday morning, then we'll be back Monday, I think, because yeah, we're gonna go Monday, Wednesday, Friday then, and you know, we're gonna be talking a whole bunch of baseball. Hopefully we're gonna have some game 163s to talk about. I really hope we do,
because that would be awesome.
That's always fun, and just baseball is baseball. Like, postseason baseball is, I'm excited for it. I really
gotta root for chaos, buddy.
Oh, 100%. Like, I'm always for it. Like, give me as much chaos as possible, even if you know, the Mariners are in it, even if I don't care. Just give me chaos for baseball. So, Nate, let's start off this podcast with a little question, a little fun question here for you. I posted it on Twitter. I will ask you it now. Who would you rather have, player A or player B? Listen closely. I'm only going to say it one time. Player A, 8-3 in 93 innings pitched, a 2.5 F-war, 3.76 ERA, and a 2.91 FIP, or player B, 13-10, 164 innings pitched, a 2.4 F4, 4.39 ERA, and a 4.00 FIP. You got all that?
Yeah, I do, okay. Actually. It's a tough one, but from an Angels perspective, I got to take player B because we seem to have 150 injuries from the pitching staff every year. And it feels like that, it honestly, like, innings pitch could be the reason why Zach Wheeler wins Cy Young this year. So I want the guy who's going to actually throw for us if they're making the same amount of money and everything. Like, obviously, if money comes into it, then it's a totally different scenario. But if player A and B were offered the same contract and both of them accepted and we can only take one, I think I'd rather take player B just from the standpoint of he's going to pitch just about every fifth day. Player A will pitch, what, 3 months of the year? 4 months out of the six?
That's fair. And before I tell you who these players are or give mine, let's just roll through this real quick. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, Talking Halos. It's fantastic. I'm excited for this offseason to start. We have so many great guests. I haven't even told this guy yet, but Jacob Cisneros will be our first guest. Jacob, if you're listening to this, you are going to be our first guest to hop on with us this offseason, talk some Angels baseball with us. Doesn't even know yet, but we will get him on, I promise. I promised him. I promise you guys. He's always a fun guest. He knows his stuff. So, guys, give us 1 second to pay the bills.
What's going on, everybody? I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you'll get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as other hosting sites would charge you just for the initial setup fee. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sporting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. And now, back to talking Halos.
All right, enough with all the introductions. Let's get this rolling. And Nate, do you want to know who these players are that I was just talking about?
Well, can you give us your answer first?
That's fair. So, it's tough for me. It really is. And since I know who these players are...
I know. That's a big advantage.
It is. I get an argument for both sides. I really do. And for what it's worth, Nate, Twitter disagrees with your answer.
That's fine.
And I get...
They care about the sexy stats, and that's fine. But being an Angel fan and watching us sign guys who throw 45 innings and have good ERAs, like, that doesn't help us.
I totally agree because I did a little research today, and the Angels have the least starting pitchers, the least pitchers since 2015 to pitch 150 innings in a single season. They only had seven.
I could have told you that.
Yes. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, there could
Tampa
be some...
Bay would be the only other team that you could even put in that. Yeah. But it's clearly the Angels. They just have so many injuries every year.
Yeah, I mean, even Tampa has guys that do their thing. Like, Tampa had 11 guys. But I thought there might be some, like, NL teams that, you know, didn't get, like, deep into games. And, like, Pittsburgh, maybe, or...
Colorado,
yeah. Teams like that, you know, just, you know, don't use a lot of pitching. But, no, the Angels only had seven guys that have ever done that, or that have done that since 2015. I was not, you know... I was not surprised, like we just talked about, but at the same time, I thought that, you know, there would be other teams that were decently close to the Angels. And next closest is 10, which was kind of interesting. Detroit and Texas only had 10 guys, and it makes sense with Texas actually because of Arlington, like the old ballpark, like that was just such a hitter's park. But
It makes sense with Detroit, especially knowing the way they've done their young pitchers. It's been like, hey, pitch count, inning count, like, that makes sense too.
Yeah, kind of different place than where the Angels were at. And I also kind of thought the Mets might be on there too with all of
Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom, though, on the other hand, is seeing, like, DeGrom might have more. He might have six straight years of 150 innings pitched. Like, that'd be kind of interesting to see.
Kershaw might be there by himself, too. Yeah, like, Kershaw. There could be a couple guys that have it by themselves.
Gerrit Cole, probably.
Yeah.
To be honest. So, yeah, I'm with it. But back onto that conversation we're having, like, I understand both sides of the argument. Like, you have to hope that player A continues with what, you know, we saw. And I think there's a good argument with the low FIP that he would, in a sense, continue that, or at least be a league average pitcher. But you do worry about the injuries, like you talked about. And, you know, you do want guys that go deep into games and guys that pitch, you know, that make 30 starts in a season. And so I understand both sides. I'll say player, just because I know, player A, you know, just because I like the sexy stats. But player B is definitely a guy that, I mean, I think that everybody needs and everybody wants is like a nice 3-4 starter, if that makes sense. And I'll just tell you who it is now. Player A is Alex Cobb, and player B is Hyunjin Ryu.
Yep.
So I get both sides of the argument.
I knew player A was Cobb. Yeah. I was not 100% sure on Hyunjin Ryu. I was trying to think maybe it was like a Yankee pitcher or something like that. But and Ryu this year, like, he's had a down year, but he was 2.9 last year. And 195 innings or something like that. Like, he threw that many innings last year.
Yeah. Well, 2019, but yes.
Well, I was going to say 2020. I think he threw the same amount of innings as Kyle Gibson this year.
Yeah. I mean, different years, so that's fair. But true. Yeah, it's a tough argument. It's an interesting argument, and it kind of brings me I didn't want to skip around the Alex Cobb, because I have another Alex Cobb question kind of farther down on what we were talking about. But since we're already talking about him, do you think the Angels should re-sign him? Do we think the Angels should bring him back? And what should a contract look like for Alex Cobb if they decide to?
So this is dependent on two things for me. One, it's dependent on who else they're going to get. You know, if Alex Cobb is going to be their best free agent signing from a pitching standpoint, no. If he is going to complement a couple other guys, I'd be fine with it. I'm not paying him more than $10 million. I think you're looking at, and I don't think I'd get him with 2 years, $20 million, unless he just absolutely loves playing for Joe Maddon and absolutely loves being an Angel. Now, saying that, Alex Cobb has been great for us. I think when the trade happened, I think I said it was a C-plus move because I didn't think Jabari Jones was that good. And, you know, Alex Cobb was a veteran who had been good in the past. But if that's going to be your number one pitching acquisition in the offseason, not worth it for me. And if we're going to give him $15, $20 million, I think there are other guys that I would be willing to give $12 to $15, $20 million, especially from a health standpoint. I think Cobb's had a tough time staying healthy. Some of it has been freak accidents. I know he had the line drive off the head in Tampa. He had some injuries in Baltimore 1 year. I think he only made like two or three starts and missed the whole year.
He also pitched in Baltimore for the Orioles.
Hey, I understand that, but like, he was injured there. He was injured in Tampa. Like, he's had some spots where he's been injured, and now he's been injured with the Angels. I know some of them are kind of freak incidents, but it's still like the Angels and injuries. Just, it feels like you mention an Angel player and they're on the IL. Like, I think we mentioned, like, oh, you know, we don't want to say Trout could get hurt this year, but, you know, there's always that chance. And what do you know? He's out for the year. Like, you just mention an Angel guy and he's hurt.
Yeah, I know. I get where you're coming from. It's tough. It really is. Like, we constantly say, like, you don't want to continue to go back and sign Angels for 1 year deal or sign pitchers for 1 year deals, and that's, I feel like, where the Angels have been a lot in the past. And at some point you have to get over that. And I think this offseason is the year. Hopefully, like. I don't know. I'd have to hope so. but I just think it's so, I don't know. You know, it's like Alex Cobb wants to pitch in Anaheim, which, knowing the Angels, you know, why would you want to come pitch in Anaheim, in a sense? Like, you get that argument as well. Like, you get a guy who wants to play for you and play for Joe Maddon, then go ahead and, you know, like, why not, you know, attempt it? But there's also,
take a discount.
Exactly.
That's the biggest question. Like, is he going to be a guy where, you know, maybe the Boston Red Sox go, hey, we're very close to making the playoffs, we just missed, or we lose in the wild card game, whatever. We're going to go out and give Alex Cobb 2 years, $14 million, $28 million a year. Would he take 2 years, you know, $18 million with the Angels? $5 million difference, I know it's not that big of a difference, but... Is that what I said, five mil difference? Like, yeah, not that big of a difference, but, like, it is actually a big deal. So would he be willing to take that, or is he a guy who's like, hey, $5 million is a big deal to me, I'm going to take it and go to Boston?
Yeah, and I understand that. I do. Like I said, I think this is kind of a tougher question than, you know, than, you know, we think about. And the Angels have a lot of money on the books, but, again, I think the answer to it is exactly how you answered it. If Alex Cobb is that big name, you know, if it's Jose Quintana, if it's Matt Harvey, if it's Dylan, well, they traded for Dylan Bundy, but if it's that type of guy on that 1 year deal,
Joe Blanton,
well, Joe Blanton was the last multi-year deal, by the way.
I believe so. It was 2 years. Yes, I remember that. So, but if that's going to be the guy you're getting as your prized free agent signing, there's going to be an issue.
Yeah, 100%. Like I think that the Angels rotation is interesting next year, and I think it can only get more interesting. And I think that this offseason is going to be crazy. I really do.
We say it every year.
We do say it every year, and we do hype it up. But like, it's continuing to get like a little bit better and a little bit better every single year. And like, I feel like this last offseason was kind of uneventful, very uneventful. I don't know.
Well, you gave it an A.
Well, you filled the spots. You filled the spots.
It wasn't that uneventful if they did that. But yeah, getting back to your point, I understand. We're on the same page when it comes to Cobb. Like, bring him in on a decent deal where it's kind of a hometown discount, so you say, and just kind of not make him the best free agent pitcher we get.
Definitely. So, Nate, let's move on to yesterday's game. Man, heck of a start. That's why I know you were excited at the start of this podcast, because you gave me all the enthusiasm right early on. Like in the first inning, you gave me so much enthusiasm, like the Angels 5-run inning today. And then it just kind of dropped off from there, didn't it?
It's tough.
It was. I don't know if you watched the game. I was able to watch a little bit of the game. 5-run first. I think the Angels batted around. Shohei Ohtani almost might have batted twice in that inning. We saw the double for Ohtani. We saw Jared Walsh actually.
Triple.
Yeah, the triple for Ohtani. My bad. Actually, tied for the Major League lead in triples, if I'm not mistaken still.
Yep.
Jared Walsh had a 3-hit game. Brandon Marsh had a 2-hit game. And then it just kind of all fell apart. Like I said, 5-run first. The Angels ended up scoring one more in the fifth inning. 5-5 going into the eighth, and Angels give up two. Tough loss. You know, Shohei Ohtani came up in the ninth, hit one to the wall. And I think Jose Rojas hit one to the wall in the sixth or seventh inning. And this is kind of an incident that I would love to talk about right now, because I don't know. Were you watching the game at all?
A little bit.
Okay. 406-foot fly ball to dead center field, a home run in, I believe, 10 ballparks by Jose Rojas. The runner's on first and second. Walsh is on second base. A very knowledgeable baseball player, in my opinion. Smart baseball player. Knows what he's doing with, I think, no outs at the time. Does not tag up. Actually cost the Angels a run. Possibly, probably cost them the game when it's all said and done. Nate, we've said this before, we say it again, it's the simple things. Like, if you want to play 1980s baseball like Joe Maddon is saying that they need to do the little things right, and tagging up on that ball to center field, because you are walking in if the ball is down, and you are 110% walking in if the ball is over the fence. You need to tag up on that type of play, and especially from first base, I think, too. That's a pretty easy tag there as well. I'm not sure who was, let's see, who would have been on base. Jack Mayfield. Mayfield or Stassi was probably on first base at the time. It had to have been Mayfield, because Stassi didn't get on base today. But Mayfield's fairly quick too, and it just, you know, you have to tag up. It's the little things in baseball that just really, I think, bother us old school guys.
Like, even if Mayfield gives a good hard fake to make sure that they don't throw to third, like,
yeah,
and there's no chance that they're getting Walsh at third. Like, I know Walsh is a little bit, he's not slow, but he's not fast either. So even if Mayfield gives a good, like, hey, I'm tagging, so the first baseman has to say 2-2-2 to the shortstop, that's huge. And even more so if he can get into scoring position, because then that takes away the double play, and now they have to think about walking a guy, and it becomes a big, big deal. So, yeah, it's something that has happened for, what, a long time now, that they have struggled doing the little things.
Yeah, and to be fair here, let's see. This is how it went down. It was top of the fifth inning. Walsh singled to left field. Nice opposite field hit. Stassi flew out to left field.
So there's one out.
So, yes, one out. Even more of a reason why. Next batter, Mayfield, a C&I single to third base. And then Jose Rojas flies out to dead center field, 406 feet on the dot. Juan Lagares then singles, scoring scoring Walsh. So Walsh ended up scoring. However, if Walsh tags, then Mayfield tags. I think Mayfield went back to go tag. So that actually ruined that. That did actually end up being a big factor in the game because Mayfield wasn't able to score on that. Mayfield only was able to go to second base on that play. So, and then Renifo ended up striking out for the third out of the game. But I mean, like I said, regardless, the little
one
things,
I think is a little different. Like I don't mind the going halfway on one out because you're probably not scoring on something with two outs that you wouldn't have scored from second and third. Like, hey, the only thing is a wild pitch.
406 foot fly ball to center field. Dead center field.
I understand. Like, you got to tag on that. Mm-hmm. But at least there's, with one out, it makes a little bit more sense. With no outs, I'd be throwing a fit.
I'm still throwing a little bit of a fit. I think that, like, again, it's the little things in baseball that really, I think, get to us. And not tagging like that is just, it's one of those things where you look back, you just throw your head back in the air, and you're like, why can't we tag on that? Like, it's just, you know, it's the little things. It's the just not smart baseball moves that I think get us. And like I said, I'm not a guy to bash on the Angels. I don't like to do that. But this is one of those times where, you know, like, you have to get the bunt down. You have to tag up. You have to do, you know, the little things right. Break up the play. Break up the double play to continue this. You know, if it's a 3-0 pitch, take a pitch. You know, like, I mean, I think there's a time and place to be swinging 3-0, but most of the time, I think, you know, 3-0 pitch, take it. Work yourself a walk. Continue to you know, get deep into counts. Let's see how deep you can get pitchers. Like, for us, I think we're kind of on the same page here. The little things that I think need to happen correctly, and it's just a lack of concentration, a lack of not effort. It's definitely not a lack of effort because...
No, it's a lack of knowledge.
It's just a lack...
A lack of clarity.
Yeah.
Something that could be taught that might not be taught because there might not be as much practice as other teams.
100%. I think that the work going on behind the scenes is just not quite there, and I get it. We're 159 games into the season, and the Angels aren't going to the playoffs, but Shohei Ohtani also had a hustle double today. He blooped a ball to down the line to left field, or he hit a slow roller with the shift on, and it trickled past first base or past third base, and Shohei Ohtani almost gets thrown out at second base, but instead he has a double. You know, like, you're 159 games in. Mike Trout's running balls out in game 162, no matter what the record is for the Angels. It's just the little things, I think, that get us. You know, like, how many of these guys, and we'll talk about this probably on Monday, how many of these guys on the 40-man roster are working for a job next season?
Probably about 30 of them. 30
35. Of them? Probably more. Probably 40 of them. Like, realistically.
Shohei Ohtani's probably not working for a job.
Yeah, there's a couple guys. Like, we're right. Like, most of these guys have quite a few of these guys have a job. But more
30,
than half.
35 of them.
75% of these guys are hoping for a job next year in baseball somewhere. They're hoping to get paid. So, like, you'd have to imagine that these guys, like, it's not a lack of effort. It is not.
No.
So, that is my issue there. I don't know.
And if you want to go base running things, the other thing that we didn't bring up about yesterday or 2 days ago, Juan Lagares getting picked off third with Shohei Ohtani up. What are we doing?
That's
unacceptable.
Yeah.
And it ends the inning. It was just, oh my gosh, it was one of the worst baseball things I ever saw. And I got a text message saying, I'm shocked Shohei Ohtani didn't just throw his bat at Lagares and say, you idiot. And it's like, you know, honestly, like, that's not Ohtani, but if he would have done that, I would have been like, good for you, buddy. That is dumb.
Like you said, like, it's just, I get that it's game 150 and you're, I don't even know how many games out of a playoff spot, but Juan Lagares is looking for a job next year, correct? Like, Juan Lagares is hoping for a spring training invite somewhere. He's hoping that he's going to make a major league team somewhere. Jared Walsh, you know, has a job. It is what it is. Will he be platooning with somebody? He's hoping for at-bats against lefties next year. I mean, that's where I'm at with this whole thing. So, you know, at some point you need to, like, this is where I think the lack of leadership comes into play too here, Nate. Like,
oh yeah,
this is that is a
there's nobody who's, when that guy's walking to the dugout to end the game, end the inning, whatever, there's nobody going up to him and jumping him and being like, hey, you know that's not how we do things here. Not one person, not even Joe Maddon's doing that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
like that shouldn't be Joe Maddon's job. Honestly, like, Joe Maddon should not have to go up to somebody who has been in the league for a little bit of time, especially Juan Lagares. Lagares has been in the game for a while. Like, we should not have to go up to him and be like, you have two outs and the best hitter on the team is up and you're on third base.
Best hitter
you're
in
not
the world.
Going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Like I said, it's not lack of effort. It's not lack of it's
knowledge. It's lack of knowledge.
Yeah, it's
a giant baseball IQ.
Yeah, it's like I said, I understand that it is a game 150 whatever. Angels are whatever amount of games out of a playoff race. I get it. But at the end of the day, you're playing for a job next year. You really are, and it's I think you guys that are listening to this, you can hear it in our voices. You understand it. You get it. You know what's going on with this whole thing. So, Nate, last thing that I really want to talk about, and I found this to be extremely interesting. I think I kind of forgot to talk about it yesterday, but J.J. Cooper posted this. He is part of Baseball America, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. The Rays, typical, like we talk about the Rays quite a bit on this podcast and how they are with their minor league teams in development and such. They are first place in the AL, best record in the AL. Their AAA team had the best record in their division and won the championship, whatever it was this year, the playoffs, they won it. AA, they lost by one in a deciding game in the championships. High A, they had the best record in high A, plus they won the championship. Low A, they had the best record in low A, and they won the championship. Can you guess what they did in the complex league?
Won the championship and had the best record.
Best record in complex. Also,
and
won
I did
championship.
See this tweet, by the way.
Yes. Fantastic. I love J.J. Cooper. Baseball America is great. Nate, the question now is, would you rather develop or would you rather win in the minors? And I think that we know the answer to this.
Yeah, I think it's both, honestly. I think you have to win to develop.
100%.
You know, if your development process is losing games, then that's what you're going to have when they get called up to the big leagues, is losers. Because it sounds weird, and I know it does, but people get used to losing. Whether it's in life, whether it's in high school baseball, whether it's in college baseball, whether it's in professional baseball, you get used to losing. And if you're always used to losing, losing does not hurt as bad. So, you know, some of these guys with the Angels, it's like, hey, I've never been on a winning team. It's game 159. It's really not that big of a deal that we're 18 games out of first place, 34 games, whatever it is, out of first place. It's just like, okay. And the scene that always comes up in my mind when we bring this stuff up is the scene in Moneyball when Jeremy Giambi is dancing after a loss and, you know, Brad Pitt's character comes in, throws the bat, and is like, what are we doing? Is losing fun? And like, Giambi's kind of like, it's like, no. Like, is losing fun? He's like, no. It's like, then what are we doing? And that's kind of what you get when you just continue to not develop to win. And another team that does this really well, and I know it's a cross-sport thing, but the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh believes that winning in the preseason builds winning in the regular season. He does not care. He's trying to score 40 points on you. He doesn't care if it's the four stringers or if it's the first stringers. He's going out there. There are times in the preseason where I've seen him go for it on fourth down. It's like, this is preseason, right? But he believes that winning in the preseason gets you winning in the regular season. And I'm a big believer in that. And I think that if you're going to develop, you need to develop to win.
Yeah, the guys on the telecast today, they said this as well. And it hit well. Like this was something that I really, really wanted to talk about, and it's tough. Like even Joe Madden has said it, and I don't. It's not eyewash. It with Joe Madden, it really isn't. It's, you know, these guys are, they want to win. You know, and you ask any minor leaguer, they want to go out there and win. And I think winning is huge for development. And I can't stress that enough. I think that like people are like, oh, you need to develop your guys. Like winning doesn't matter. No, winning is the sole purpose of development. I think it's a byproduct of, you know, everything that has happened. Correct? Like Nate, how many teams have you been on that, you know, you're like, when you're on a bad team, and I'm not saying that like Baltimore Orioles, for example, like the Baltimore Orioles want to get better. The Angels, yeah. The Angels, like this is a perfect example. The Angels want to get better, like 100%. Like the major league team wants to get better, but it's really tough when you're losing games. And I think we see this with the Angels right now. It's like, well, they're not winning games and they're not getting better. Like you're just really stuck in a rut. Like I don't know how else to really explain it. You know?
Yeah, and it reminds me of like high school. I remember like first year of high school, we were like. Freshman team, we were bad. Like we weren't that bad. Where we got last place, I think we finished third place. And then the next year we got second place. And then the next year we were on varsity as a entire team, like that had grown up together. And it was like, hey guys, we don't know what this playoff feeling is like, but we want to get there. We've kind of been to the playoffs a little bit, and we got to the playoffs that first year, and it was like, okay. We got there, but there's something more that's better. Like we want to win. And my senior year, we were number 11 in the nation. And I think we won our league. Like it was a big celebration. Like that's where we wanted to be. And it was continuing to get better every single year, but we were winning games. Like it wasn't like, oh, you know, it's okay. Little Johnny, we got last place. Like, no, we want to win baseball games.
Yeah, 100%. And for those who were hoping for the stats here, Salt Lake City was 53-73. Rocket City was 54-56. Tri-City was 43-68. Inland Empire was 56-61. Arizona Complex League was 30-28. And the DSL was 30-26. And I don't... So... There are three.
You want to know what's funny about those?
What's up?
That's probably like if you go back every year, they're right around the same numbers every year.
Probably yes, 100%. Definitely are. And actually, yes, I've done this before. And the last time, and I could totally be wrong. Last time that an Angels minor league team went to the playoffs, I think was 2016, maybe. And I'm not kidding. Like you think that like at some point one of these teams would have made it to the playoffs? No, like. The Angels minor league system hasn't won. Like they've had losing records for a long time now, and that's something I'll look up. Like again, like I said, I don't want to bash this team. I don't want to bash this organization. But at some point, you need to bring a winning culture. Like Joe Adell, I think I've said this before. Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh
never been on a winning team.
They have not been on a winning team since high school. That's crazy to me to think that Jordan Adams hasn't been on a winning team since high school. You know, Reed Detmer is a little different. He was
at a winning team in new. Louisville.
Yeah, but back onto it. Inland Empire was 56-61. Arizona was 30-28. DSL was 30-26. The big thing, I think, between these records that I noticed, so AA was two games under 500. The best coaching staff, that coaching staff is unbelievable. Keep an eye out. For Jay Bell, like he might be a major league manager next year when it's all said and done. Jay Bell did God's work in AA. They did something different there. They really did. And it's unbelievable. The Dominican Summer League and the AZL. I don't know if this had anything to do with it. And we're getting kind of long with this podcast, so we'll try to wrap this up quickly. But I don't know if this had anything to do with it. But I think they had the benches cleared between them. Probably 8 times. I don't know, like if that's like a little chip on a shoulder. I'm not kidding either, Nate. Like
the Angels once, haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, once a week, it felt like I was getting a text like the DSL bench is cleared, or the AZL, the bench is cleared, and it was like, this is weird. Like, I'm not saying that, like, every, like, you want to be the bad boys. Like, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if it was on Netflix or Hulu.
Whoa.
The Thrashers.
Hold on. You said there's no place in baseball for that.
Well, I think that you need to have a chip on. I think you need to have a chip on your shoulder. You get my difference. You get the difference between this, right?
I had to.
Like, I think the Chicago White Sox have a chip on their shoulder. I do, and I think I don't. I think that there's a good place, and I think there's a bad place for it. And I think that the way that Tony La Russa handles himself is not good, in my opinion. But I think that having, like, a chip on your shoulder is absolutely a good thing. Like, you look at, like, the leadership standpoint, and what Jose Abreu did wasn't good. Like, and we said it was soft. He was being, I'm not going to say that word. He was being soft, and that's totally fine. But I think that the way that some teams handle it, like, if you're retaliating for something
I think the Astros are one of those teams. They have that chip on their shoulder, and they, like, ever since people put that bullseye on their back of, like, oh, these guys are cheaters, they've had that chip on their shoulder, like, screw you guys. I don't 100%. Care if we cheat or not, like, and they definitely cheated. But we don't care. We're going to go win 100 games with or without the cheating. And you can continue to think we're cheating, but we're going to continue to put up 150 runs every time we can and just blow everyone out.
Yeah, Bryce Harper is a perfect example of this. I know we both love Bryce Harper. Like, is Bryce Harper, like, and this is going to sound weird, but is Bryce Harper the baddest bad, like, I don't know, like, is he the villain of Major League Baseball? Like, can you think of another villain, really? Like, minus the Astros.
Tatis, Machado.
And those guys, like, okay, we're talking about these guys. Those guys are some of the best players in baseball, correct?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
And, like, the players you hate.
And I think Bryce Harper, the funny thing is, Manny Machado is, like, forgotten. Like, I feel like Harper and Machado are really forgotten about the bad boys. Like, people aren't even paying attention to Bryce Harper. He could win the MVP, even though his team's going to miss out on the playoffs by a couple games. But he could still win the MVP. He put up unbelievable numbers this year.
Yeah, Bryce Harper, Tatis, again, a guy who is in the MVP race. Even Machado's had a pretty good year, too, if I'm not mistaken.
And, yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, This is again where it goes back and forth, and I just don't know. Like, is there a place for bad boys in baseball? Like, there's got to be, right? Like, you have the bad boys in hockey. You have those enforcers in football. You have those. Yeah, everybody has it. But, like, I feel like we're getting out of that era of bad boys. But it's almost like the Angels need to start having a chip on their shoulder and need to, you know, you need Lou Piniella. You need that guy who's going to fire you up. And there's always the best teams always have those guys, you know, that are the hated ones, you know, like that you don't want them. You don't want to play against them, but you love them on your team. You know, like I can't think of Bryce Harper's that way.
That's the reason why I've been yelling for Jared Weaver to be on the coaching staff, because that is the guy.
Maybe that guy. Maybe that is the answer. You know, I agree. Maybe that is the answer. You know, so I am old school, new school. Like, there's got to be a middle man in it. Like, I get arguments for both sides of old school baseball. I get arguments for new school baseball. I think that there's a right way to do old school baseball, and I think there's a right way to do new school baseball as well. I don't think everybody should be soft with it, but I think there's a time and a place to be, you know, a badass. I think there's a time and a place to be an asshole to people. Like, always, I think there is. And I think we kind of saw it a little bit with Dylan Bundy last year. Like, there's that little bit of spark when Joe Maddon came out, or I think Joe Maddon started warming somebody up in, like, the fourth inning, and Bundy had like 60 pitches with runners on first and second and gave up a run or something like that. And you saw the bullpen start going, and Bundy got out of it and was like, sit the fuck down or something like that. Something ridiculous. And it was like, what? Like,
he pulled the David Wells.
Yeah, 100%. Like, or was that Andy Pettitte? I don't know who it was. But
David Wells refused to let Joe Torre warm up anyone while he was still pitching. He goes, warm them up while I'm in the dugout. But when I'm on that mound, nobody else is warming up.
I don't know, man. I think that what we've seen in the Angels' low minor league system, with just a little bit of a chip on the shoulder and just kind of that asshole mentality, that, you know, wow, I've been cussing a lot, but that, you know, I am in it. I want to be the best. Mentality is there, and I think that, you know, this is – we're starting to see it. I'm interested to see what happens next year with these guys moving up in the Angels minor league system. And I think that the Angels need some bad boys, and I think that starts with Max Scherzer. And let's just leave it at that. Nate, you have any final thoughts for tonight or today?
Just the final thought is, you know, we talked about Joe Maddon and how it's not really him to just say things. I think he's the one who really brought that culture to Tampa Bay of, like, winning matters. It doesn't matter if we're winning in single A, double A, triple A, like, winning matters throughout every single thing we do, whether it's, you know, having the nicest dugout after the game, whether it's having, you know, whatever we do, we want to win, whether it's running on and off the field. And I think that's something that he really started in Tampa Bay, and he started in Chicago right before they got really good. And I think if it's something that he's trying to get going here in Anaheim. So I hope he can get it done, because if he gets that going, he has a really special trait about him that he brings out the best in guys when some guys think there's nothing left.
Yeah, you have there's a skeleton here in Anaheim. There really is. There's something to be built around. You just got to find the skin. That was kind of a weird analogy, but, you know, I made it work. So, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos, making us the best podcast. If you could subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it, follow us on all our social medias. You can follow myself at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. Leave us comments if you want to jump on the podcast, talk some Angels baseball with us. Shoot me a message. I am always down to talk some Angels baseball with anybody, especially on this podcast. And guys, we will see you Monday. Have a great rest of your day.